We're back from recess, and we're ready to discuss road petitions. Mr. Hayes.
Gentlemen, we've got a, I think Kathy made you a copy of a packet each, and the first seven roads listed there, one of them is listed twice, the first one because it's two different type surfaces, but six roads there within that Emery Creek subdivision, and then 10 other additional roads throughout different areas in the county have been petitioned that we've had in holding for a little while.
Just clarify what you're saying. Number one, and there's not a number two listed there. Those are two separate roads. That's not a typo.
Oh, it's the same road, isn't it?
It's the same road, two different surfaces.
But the total length is right. So it's still
the length is right, yes.
Okay, okay.
And Jim, eight through 17 is not in Emery Creek subdivision.
Correct.
These are the road petitions that have been submitted to the county commission for their perusal and discussion should the county be accepting them. Right. Are there also, or is there also a list of roads that, and there probably is not, but are there a number of individuals that have said they would petition, but because we said we weren't taking roads, they did not petition the commission?
We have a couple of petitions out there. We haven't received them back as of yet, but there are people working on some additional roads. But until we get the petition back, we go ahead and review them. We put them in this.
No, I appreciate that. My comment is, do you think that there are some people out there who would have submitted petitions, but we told them that the county was not taking in new roads at this particular time or over the course of the last, how long has it been, guys? A couple of years?
Years? At least a couple of years. Basically, I'm sure there are.
Okay.
The people that do come in and pick up a petition, we tell them that we do have quite a few that are under review right now. So.
Okay, I got a question. I heard what Ron said. I may have heard what he said wrong. The Emery Creek, are these all Emery Creek roads?
Just the top
seven. Just the top seven.
Just the top seven are Emery
right.
Creek roads. Okay, thank you. Okay, so how do you want to go through these? I mean, that's my question to the two commissioners.
I have a different approach to it, Jim. I think
that's what I want to hear.
Here's what we did last time, and it worked out well. We have a certain dollar amount that we look at the roads that are taken in and chip and sealed lay for a year after we start working on them, usually before we do anything. If we have a total cost of monies that are available for these roads to be taken in and chip and sealed, or whatever other surface they might be, then we can kindly examine these for the best benefit of dollars spent to the county. Until we have that cost, I visited with Randy on this on a couple of different occasions, and until we have that cost, the monies that would be taken in out of this would have to be come out of a contingency fund.
Right.
And so I would rather approach this in a matter of some of these roads we have already seen on their projection video conditions. We even have notes here from some of them that have been looked at before and have concerns about all the way back in some time, because there are, and it's not as easy as it used to be because everybody's under financial constraints. There are power lines, power poles, transmission, transformer boxes, things like that are involved in some of these roads that we've taken in the past, where we asked the power company to move two or three power poles. To get that done now is a whole lot different than it used to be, because sometimes we have to pay for that, and that adds to the cost. So those things, the amount of money that we have available is something that I think that we need to look at. I know, Jim, you put this this has been a concern for you because you said you wanted to bring it up and discuss it.
Right.
And at least have what we have here in this. This is what we wanted, Randy, was
right, right. We,
the roads, the approximate roads, and look at the videos of them or visit the roads. But until we have a total dollar figure that we would be willing to take out of contingency, I'm not sure that we need to go
too far.
Too far.
Okay, let me, and this goes in with that. The proposals that you're, I mean, you have estimates here.
Right.
My question for you is, on these estimates that are just merely estimates, are we taking that road to a standard that we accept? Are we doing any variances? Meaning, I was just randomly looked at, is it Black, hold on here, Blackberry, where we don't have a turnaround in it, and I see what you're saying here. You know, my question for you, does it take, what I'm doing is reading the notes. I think there's a letter that gentleman sent back to us.
Mm-hmm.
Are we asking, in this estimate, are we saying we're going to put a cul-de-sac in and get the proper easement? Just for example, and that don't in general, you don't have to pick on this road specifically, but I guess my question is, are you...
The estimate brings this road to a reasonable standard, county standard, is what it does.
So proper easement, turnarounds...
The easement is one that on this particular road is going to be up to residents to try to obtain or help obtain, because we're putting that burden on the residents rather than us having to pick up that cost because of survey and different things.
Oh, I agree.
Some of them run into very expensive, so the estimate does not include survey and description and stuff. We put that burden back on the residents. Same thing with the right-of-way, because a lot of these roads we try to take in doesn't have enough right-of-way, and some of these on very lengthy roads runs into several thousand dollars just to get the survey and that type of work done.
And I guess that was my question for the estimate, so that we can properly come up with how much money we're willing to spend on roads. I don't want to take a road in if it doesn't meet a standard, if we're creating a problem just for the mere fact of taking a road in.
Right.
For example, Danny and I and Ron, and we've always been adamant we have to have a turnaround if we any road that's in the system, either a hammerhead or a cul-de-sac. And so I want to make sure that's irregardless of any road we take in, that has to be a factor.
Right, and I always note that in all my inspections or reviews, if there's no turnaround or whatever issue is with a turnaround or if it's required, so I always try to make sure that's in the review so you guys know up front that if you take this road in, it requires this.
And so, for example, if it doesn't and you have an estimate, the estimate is to put one of those turnarounds in?
Generally, the estimate includes upgrading or resurfacing or
creating
the road, ditching, that type of work, but actual obtaining the turnaround, no.
Okay.
Because we put that burden back onto the residents or the people petitioning the road to make that, give the land up, survey,
good.
That available.
Randy, on the roads that you have submitted,
mm-hmm.
Is there one single road that meets county standards that's not going to cost the county money to bring it up to the standards that are expected?
The lower list, no. There's none of those that won't require some type of work. That's kind of the reason the people have petitioned them. They don't have the money available to do it themselves. The Emery Creek subdivision, two or three of these smaller roads are close to meeting standard. And, I mean, they didn't require thickness of surface. It just has a 2-inch subgrade surface currently, so it doesn't meet the standard as far as the asphalt, but
it's a drivable surface.
It did at the time the development was done because our standards were approved after that fact. So
I got
to
ask you a question.
Can you embellish or give me more discussion on that particular point?
Okay.
Just hit that again.
As what I call bringing it up to standards.
Some of these met standards at the time.
At
that they were submitted, but standards have changed, and therefore they don't meet the new standards.
You guys adopted a new set of standards in 09. These were under construction and development before that time, so do we expect these to meet that particular standard?
In Emery Creek, for example, they put a base asphalt down. They didn't do the top coat,
right?
Which is very standard in subdivisions, for example. So this estimate is to put the top coat on all the roads. Is that correct?
This estimate is to, because I don't think we can afford to, the easiest way to surface this is the estimate to put the chip seal surface
on top of
this to seal that surface on the roads that are required.
One of the questions that Danny and I brought up 2 years ago was, as we take roads in, there's a cost to maintaining a road. And we went back and forth with the previous road and bridge administrator of what is the actual cost that, I mean, MoDOT has an estimate, because what people don't sometimes understand is it's not the initial cost. Once it's in our maintenance system, we spend money every year, either snow removal, patching, and then every 7 years or every 3 years doing some sort of treatment on that road.
Right.
What do we have a ballpark of what it costs us to maintain? I don't remember those numbers. So I think the last time we had numbers, they were so skewed higher than MoDOT standards. We just said, well, why don't we just have MoDOT maintain our roads? Because it would, you know, so do we have any idea what the cost per mile?
I've got that list that we used before upstairs. I just ran through it the other day, as I said, at my desk.
I didn't remember how accurate
things,
it was.
But it wasn't.
That's what I thought.
As we looked at it, it wasn't accurate. As a matter of fact, I had a big X marked across it because it wasn't accurate, but I reviewed it.
Right.
The cost that...
There would be a difference in some roads compared to others. Some subdivisions, there's not the mowing required because the people basically take care of that.
Okay.
Most of it are yards on curb and gutter. So there's one phase of that kind of taken out of the equation. But there is more expensive surface work at that type of area because of hot mix
or
curb and gutter work, different maintenance issues with it. But as far as maintenance, you've got your mowing, snow removal, sign work, different ditch cleaning, all that. That I don't know what the cost was that was obtained before. I haven't really seen
that. I mean, I want to say like $4,000 a mile for chip seal and $7,000 a mile for asphalt, hot mix.
There's way more than that.
Was it more than that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. I think I've got it still laying on my desk. I didn't pitch it after I X'd it.
You were looking at a per year cost per mile for every within our maintenance system.
Right. Because this is going to affect your budget. This even if we take this out of contingency, next year there is a cost associated with maintaining X amount of miles of road. And we break it down in different ways within the budget, but the reality is you're going to spend more on roads.
Those line items are going
to
go up.
Yeah, they have to maintain. If we don't, then we're not going to be able to properly maintain the roads that we have. And that was part of the discussion that we kind of stopped taking in roads until we got our hands around if we say we're going to take in 5 miles of roads or 4 miles of roads, two on the east, two on the west, and we're going to spend no more than $100,000. I'm just throwing numbers out. What burden do we put back on the road and bridge budget next year and the year after? That's what I want to know.
Let me ask you a question. When you made that statement of taking the roads in, if they're already up to snuff, it doesn't cost
the first year, but it will in 3 years.
Okay, but your comment was if we take in 5 miles and it's 100,000.
Right.
So, but if they meet specs, it should be zero.
Right.
Let me give you.
Or we take a road that costs 100,000, 4 miles doesn't cost anything.
Look, let me give you something, Ron. This explains it in pretty good form. Last time that we took in roads, I believe there was around 10 roads that we took in because that was the amount of money that we had. Mm-hmm. The cheapest road that we took in was going to take us $2,500 to get it ready for chip and seal.
Right.
Randy had it listed out. I think one of the most expensive was going to cost us $30,000. That was the top end. Mm-hmm. Was from $2,500 to $30,000. We took a dollar value, and I don't know how we broke it down in such a fine point, but I think it was $78,000 that we had. And this was, I believe, year before last.
I think you're right. I think I know which roads we're talking about.
Right. And those year before last, and as we approached those, We looked at the distance. We looked at the number of homes that were affected.
Right.
The time the petition was put in, and there were several decisions that we made on that. That is where I started my conversation right now is we need a dollar amount that we were willing to, if we take it out of contingency,
right,
to take these roads in, because that's where it's going to affect next year.
And the thing I think we also did today was some roads required a lot more expenses, and what we said was you're not going to spend any money this year, and we're only going to limit how much mm-hmm. we're going to spend per road as part of our discussion, too,
right.
Was they. I mean, some roads are in good shape, not great. They need ditch lines cleaned out, and they really want snow removal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of these roads just said we want it properly graded and ditch lines cleaned, and that's really all that was important to them. And so some roads are it's minimal. It's $2,500 mm-hmm. to clean a ditch line. But I think you're right, Dan. I think what we've got to do is come up with how much money are we willing to spend and then start looking.
And one thing that I've visited with Devin about, because he's been doing a lot of this, and I'm sure you're right on top of what he's up to, but he's been cleaning ditch lines. And some of those ditch lines hadn't been cleaned for probably 7 to 10 years, and they almost remain not a ditch line at that point. And so those ditch lines that he's cleaning is part of the maintenance program. When you put a crew out there with he's got a track hoe and a backhoe doing this.
We're basically, we started this last year. We've been wanting to do this for several years, but bigger projects prevent us from actually trying to get this done. And it's something that we've been needing to do for years as part of our maintenance. Is before we go in here and resurface these chip seal roads or whatever list we make up, and we've been using our list that we give out to the guys. Stottle has one in front of him there. We send a crew. David's done it in his area. Devin's doing it in that area. Harlan's got a crew working, doing that very same thing Devin's doing. We go around. We do our preliminary work on that road, cut any limbs, brush, mm-hmm. clean the ditches, fix the culverts. Then we come through and patch, then we come through and seal it, and if we can continue to do that, and eventually within 6 to 7 years, whatever our turnaround is, we'll be throughout the whole chip seal road system. We're also trying to, as we get time, do this with our hot mix surface roads. And then with a gravel road, you've always got a grader there grading it. He can clean the ditch about every time he grades it, but it seems like when a road gets sealed, then that type of maintenance goes away or has been for mm-hmm. several years, and we want to get back to that. Every road you take in, there's always a cost to it. It may be minimal, but it's always added to a snow route list, so you've got that cost if we get any winter. It's always added to the mowing list, so there's added miles, and it'll be added there. There's signs of cost of a sign that goes up or change, or may just be a patch that need to be added on to it. So, and then some of these roads, like you say, may need to be totally reconstructed before it's even able to either seal it or whatever we do to it. And we do currently have two or three roads that we've taken in lately that we really haven't had time to, or the money to go in and do much to. And they're basically look just the same as when we're taking them in.
You say taken in lately, a couple of years ago, years ago?
Well, we had a road that you just recently finished taking in, which was, I want to say Arizona, and that's because it was a contingency vote 18 months ago.
And right now, they would like to have that one chip sealed. That's a new road. I mean, we don't have on our current list. We're going to wait and see how it plays out toward the end of the year.
And I thought you were going to wait to let that settle anyway, I thought, because there was some...
It needs to settle, but I mean, you know, base road, they...
Yeah.
Well, this is what I was looking for. Now exactly what I'm looking for, and I'll listen to what each one of you have to say, I'm looking for a dollar value from you to the commission of what we want to try to spend this year on taking in certain numbers of these roads that are considered the best value to the county. There's no way that we can start down through here and take in these $30,000 and $40,000 and $50,000 roads this year. So we have to limit those to to next year's projects as we take and go in on them.
Well, let me make the comment and help me. Where in the budget did
we didn't
place monies to take in any roads this year?
There's nowhere in our basic budget that I can pull money right now because we're strapped pretty tight on several things that we're not
unexpected.
We're going over on some line items that we're going to have to take out of contingency anyway on some projects.
I'm not going to say that I'm going to stand in opposition to us doing something anywhere within the county. It's just that if, in fact, the commission is going to make that decision, the money has to come from somewhere.
Right.
One of the things, Danny, I would want you to consider, and Ron, I appreciate that. I mean, the reality is we do believe we'll have, with the tight budget, we'll still have a surplus at the end of the year. We'll be able to put back a little money into the reserves. So there is a little bit of money there that we'll be able to probably get if we needed to. But the question is, back to the road discussion, is I would like for us to also consider, Danny, the number of dwellings that we're serving when we take a road in. I mean, I appreciate, you know, everyone's a petition, but there's some petitions that, you know, it's a quarter-mile road, $20,000 investment, and it serves one house.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, you know, a quarter of a mile, same price, but it serves eight houses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got to take that into consideration also, is the number of residents that we're serving, and we have to prioritize by dwellings also, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And not just partial owners, but dwellings, people actually living on that road, using that road. I'd like for us to consider that in the discussion, too.
So we'll get into subdivision areas where somebody has taken the contractor themselves, has spent $100,000 on the road, and it's in pretty good shape, and we can take it in, and they serve so many people in that particular area, and it meets all the standards of their 50-foot easements and all those things. But I'm getting back to where I started. We have to have a dollar figure that we would consider.
I understand it, but I don't see any that are listed here that come up to standards that don't cost the county any money.
Your question a while ago about how many actual meet the standard?
Very rarely.
Very rarely will they meet the new standard. We always have to do something to it. It either needs right away or it needs reestablished ditch lines.
I mean, water's a big deal. So you guys are always messing with the ditch lines. First thing you do is double check the ditch lines.
Or just a full standard. Technically, it's already full standard ready to go.
Let's get there, Harlan. That's where I'm going to head. If we have a set of standards that no one's meeting, and we're making, or commissions in the past have made decisions that were contrary to what those standards were, are the standards too stringent? Are we in fact putting something upon the property owners that's costing them more? I mean, if we're willing to bend the rules every single time to bring roads into the system, why do we have the standards in the first place?
Well, the standards were established a lot for new construction. And I think a lot of the new construction roads that are coming through planning and zoning adhere to the standards.
Well, there's an awful lot of roads on here that are fairly new construction.
Well, go ahead, Randy.
Let me comment on that. What my estimate cost to bring it up to a reasonable standard, all of these roads that are petitioned, I'm not asking that they're required to meet our 2009 adopted standards. Per se, most of these, like Emery Creek subdivision, has a required right of way, has a required turnarounds, meets all of that. It has culverts where it needs to be. It will have subgrade issues in places. It will have some drainage issues where maybe lacking a ditch or a ditch needs clean. And like I say, it just has the subgrade asphalt put down, or the road's incomplete, hasn't been totally surfaced in regards to one chip seal road. So that road does come close to meeting a reasonable standard, but the estimated cost is for putting a surface to seal the road so there's no more deterioration of the existing surface, what it's going to require us to do that, or fix a drainage on that particular length of road. These other roads are roads that have been in existence for many years that we're not asking to meet a 50-foot requirement that are new standards. We're asking it all roads to meet at least a 40-foot requirement and have some type of turnaround at the end. or people willing to make that happen.
Is it our policy to, when we accept a road, to seal it?
If that's what most residents would like to have, is a hard surface. Now, if we tried to obtain that within a reasonable amount of time, if we've got the money to go in there and accomplish bringing the road up, fixing it, and getting it ready for chip and seal.
Okay.
And some of them are at that stage. They're just, we've got them based, we've got the ditches cleaned, the things have been graded a few times, and they're just waiting for a time when we can schedule or put it within our budget to put the surface on.
Okay.
So that's kind of where we're at. But all these lower roads, some of them will have right-of-way issues. That will be stated in the report. I'll put what right-of-way's on there. But these roads, no, we're not asking for them to meet a 50-foot. Some of them may already have that. Some of them may be 30-foot. We're asking that they meet a consistent 40-foot on these older roads.
If I was to add this up, Danny, this is approximately $300,000 to get to take all these roads in. I didn't add up the miles, how many miles it would be. Ballpark, and it looks like about 5 miles. I don't know if that's right or not. About 5 miles or so. Well, 300,000 is more than I'm willing to commit in the first year. Okay, so I guess the question I've got to both you guys is, providing we can find money in the budget, how much are we comfortable moving forward, at least starting the process of, you know, are we willing to spend $100,000 on roads in 2012? You know, and then we figure out where the $100,000 can be spent, you know, serving the most residents, most citizens. So, I guess that's the question, is that we need to give guidance to Randy, saying, Randy, if we gave you $100,000, what could you do with it for taking roads in and serving the most residents? What would your recommending be? I guess what we've got to do is figure out, is that something that we're willing to have that discussion about? And I know, and keeping in mind what Ron's discussion is, we didn't budget this. Mm-hmm.
Well, and my secondary concern is, what happens in the next budgetary time frame, and how will the commission vote on the funds that we diverted back to R&B this year, which is $500,000 that has otherwise been taken from R&B over the course of the last few years? And if we lose those funds in the January or next year's budget cycle,
right,
where are we going to be? So I'm asking the questions because, or at least having that in mind. And, but I'm willing to certainly talk about this.
One of my comments regarding the budget is, out of all the budgets we have, Road and Bridge is the most stable. And granted, it's because we stopped these transfers from happening, which helps solidify the budget itself. But Road and Bridge by far has done the most to operate within its revenue stream.
One thing that we've left out of the picture is we looked at budgeting, and it's a good thing that we did. We didn't have any idea that we were going to have a flood and a tornado in the same year. And the cleanup that we did throughout the tornado cycle and the overtime that the boys put in, all that monies that are related to keeping the roads open for Road and Bridge, the amount of flood issues that we had, and I have to compliment, just along with Jim, you guys and the job that you've done as far as the projects that we've taken on, coming under budget for what the project was under that particular project. So I still go back to the amount, I guess, that we would be willing to look at, and that's something that this county commission has to consider. And and if the answer is zero, then the answer is zero. If it's $100,000, then that's when we need to work with these guys on about the amount of roads to be taken in. And believe you me, there's not anything that the satisfaction of this job is being able to help people, mm-hmm, get their roads taken into the county system and serve the citizens of the county. That's where that's what we're here for. But if the dollars aren't there, and we all know what the budget looks like at this particular point in the year, this is approaching 1st of June, and we've had a tornado and a flood. So we have to consider those things also.
I guess they're probably sitting there, the guys are saying, okay, what's next? What do we do? Where do we go from here?
Well, I know, but they provided what we ask. Now it's time for us to provide a review and an answer for what they provided to us. These are the roads that they have come to us with. We need to look and decide if we want to spend $100,000, we want to spend $50,000, we want to spend $0.
I mean, I'll throw out a number just so. I don't see, I mean, looking at the budget, knowing where we stand in road and bridge, I know it's tight, guys, but I believe we could allocate $100,000 this year to taking roads in. I mean, I honestly think we could. Within the budget, that still puts some money back into our reserve, but doesn't put obviously nearly as much. I think we were going to put 220 or 240. I can't remember what we estimated originally, but it would tap into about half of what we're going to put back in reserve. And I'm going off of memory here to make sure, but I would like to give direction to Randy and saying, if there was $100,000 allocated to bringing roads in, what would you look at?
And I would like to review those figures. I thought it was $300,000 that we had that would be put back into the reserves.
Right. And it may be, Danny.
That was before the flood and before the tornado.
Right.
So that's what I would like to look at. And Randy and them have kept close track of this, Harlan and Stottle and Huff and them. I mean, as I talk to each one of them individually, they talk about staying within their budgets on these particular lines or if they can. So there's a certain amount of reward to that good work that they have done.
Didn't we just purchase some equipment that we didn't have in the budget that we took out of contingency that was pretty expensive?
$80,000?
$70,000?
No, we had it in the budget.
We had it
in the next item is something, if we move forward with our spray unit, that will have to be taken out of contingency.
We did give you some equipment purchases in the budget.
Right.
And that's where that came from.
What we just finished, I mean, we still have money in the budget. What I have left in that particular item is going to should take care of our two-way radio system, what's going to be left there. Now, this other item, that will have to be taken out of contingency.
How big is that, 100?
Huh?
How big is that item?
80, wouldn't it?
80 to 100,000.
And how much do you think in the various lines within the budget currently, where you say we're tight, we're going to be over?
Guardrails comes to mind right off the bat. We got probably $2,000 appropriated there, and this one project, we're going to run $20,000 right there.
Or the KDOT, right?
KDOT.
Yeah.
And then that doesn't include our maintenance. We got a little bit of maintenance in two, three roads that we need to get fixed. So.
But KDOT, didn't we budget that and we came in under?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, overall, that project was
under. We didn't put it in a particular line item, I don't think.
It was $70,000 is what we had.
Well, I mean, we had an estimated cost. Yeah, we come under. I mean, so we're going to have monies available.
Well, I was looking here.
So the guardrail for it wouldn't come out of guardrail line item.
Well, what I'm saying is that overall project, even with the guardrail overage, the overall project was still less than we budgeted.
Yeah, for the project.
For the overall project. So, Ron, I know where you're going.
Well,
and the reality is we've got to manage these line items to make sure that we're not going over by $100,000 to one line item and offsets all the gains that we thought we had. And so, I mean, we have to monitor this budget. Maybe the next step is pull up an active budget and of that of road and bridge. And
well, just for normal maintenance purposes, I mean, we don't have enough in our supplies for, like, culverts and different things that we need. For just normal maintenance work, we've always got to fix or we run across a damaged one. I mean, that runs into some pretty extensive dollars on different things. So the bridge went a little over what was estimated cost. So that's going to eat into
That's right.
Things, so. And our equipment line item, I'd like to be able to increase it next year to where we can start replacing and not adding to the fleet, getting rid of old stuff, just replacing with newer equipment. We've got enough equipment. I mean, I just want to start replacing some things.
That's why I'd like to start paying it and make it back up.
Some of the newer stuff
looks a lot nicer and protects it. And we're going to own it for quite a while.
I guess this falls back to some work for Randy and Kathy and them to bring us some budget stuff.
Well, right, yeah, we're going to have to do, maybe get with Rick and get some things, get some updates of where we stand. Really, Randy, you're probably going to have to get a current budget from Mr. Finley and see where you stand on some line items, because I know we buy some things. You know, say we're 50% done for the year, you may buy everything, all 100% by June. And so I guess the right question is, if you could project what line items you think you're going to go over would help us.
Okay.
If you could,
we can do that. Kathy can.
If you could do that with Rick and just kind of give us some heads up of what you think, what line items will go over. I mean, you're halfway through the year. And say, I'm concerned with this line, this line, and give us an estimate of where you think we stand with the budget. That will help us decide how much money, if there's money, to go to taking in roads.
I'm gonna let me say something about what we talked about. And Ron asked a very good question about the piece of equipment that was going to cost between $80,000 and $100,000. That's a very good question. But the facts are that piece of spray equipment can save us a third of what we do on our mowing and all that kind of stuff once we make one round with it versus having to go back and weed eat over guardrails and do all the stuff that we have to do for maintenance. That one piece of equipment can pay for itself in three-year time frame. That's the way that I look at those purchases that are above and beyond what we need to spend.
Yeah, and I agree with you 100%, Danny. It's just that when we put this on the agenda, it was just so that we could have a general review of what had been requested.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm asking today is I would really like to review the budget and work with you on where we're at in the budget, because there are a number of factors that we're not taking into consideration here. That's loggers, that's employees, and there are a number of things that are going to affect what we have set. And yes, I agree with you, and we're sold on that when you made those comments about that saving us money and will pay for itself over a period of time. But it doesn't stop the fact that we will be spending the money, and it will take that long to recoup it in the savings in the future. I would really like to sit down and go through this and personally see where we're at. I would also like to have from each of you from the districts that you represent, meet with your guys and have them give you some suggestions as to what we should be looking at so that we can, with more specificity, determine what it's going to cost to do this. And I would like to meet with you to chat about that as well. I mean, there's a number of areas the county should be working in that we're not.
Do you still want a cost per mile as far as what we think are reasonable cost per mile
for
maintenance cost is what all we put into a road? Is that?
I would, just because I think it helps us budget better. I think
for
so.
For future years.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I wouldn't spend a lot of time, but if you can get some, you know, Kathy or Deborah or somebody to help put together some numbers and give us a ballpark that we think is realistic, that would be helpful.
Okay.
And I also appreciate the clarification, because I totally had the wrong impression when I first saw these figures that were out to the right, and so that eases me somewhat.
How I come up with our estimated costs is talking with the people that petition the road mainly and what they expect from Taney County, looking at what it would take these guys to fix the road, whatever it needs, whether it be brush, ditches, grading, aggregate, all that cost goes into that estimate to bring that road to a reasonable standard, not called just a reasonable standard, get it to the correct width, drainage fixed, and make it a decent gravel road first, then move on in it. Now, if it's a chip seal, repairing that at whatever type surface is on the road is what I try to do.
Quick question about Emery Creek. Currently, there's two roads out there that are maintained by the county. Is that right?
Do what?
Two major roads? No?
Nothing maintained.
We don't maintain anything.
Zero?
We don't maintain anything out there.
None of it's been taken in. Here's the other thing. You got to look at the main road first because it wouldn't make any sense to take in any side roads.
Yeah, you got
to
look at the main. The main.
Is that Emery Creek Boulevard?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the new road standard that we have in effect now, it will take years to catch up from what old previous roads had been
right.
built.
Right.
And there is going to be a transition time there before people would get real consistent in meeting totally.
And knowing that, probably the number one thing that I want to make sure that we do going forward is we always have a turnaround or some way for our trucks to turn around. I mean, I know we've taken roads in that we've used driveways.
Yeah.
And that's just not the right way to do it. We need to do an official either hammerhead or an official cul-de-sac.
Yeah.
I mean, that's safety. We don't want our big trucks, especially in snow events, backing up. And we know,
yeah.
we all know that, but that's got to be a standard that we don't vary.
Right.
There's no variables on.
And keep in mind, when we reconstruct any of our existing roads, we're always constructing and rebuilding them to that current road standard that you guys have adopted. We try to meet that as close as we can.
While you're writing notes down there, I want you to write down what the state thinks as they pursue chip and sealing 76 Highway out here, how long that's going to last, because we've got a project on 165 that is going to have some attention quickly. There's already lines, gator lines and all that in the road going to the dam. That road is going to have some attention by next year. That's what we get into when we get into these heavy traffic count roads. It's not in my district, it's in Jim's, but I drove it the other day and I seen that it's.
Are you driving the section of the bars?
Mm hmm.
Okay.
Our section of the road is pretty decent, I thought.
It's not our section.
It's MoDOT's section. And
how far is our section go?
It goes to the junction there, 265 and 165.
Okay.
That's where we stop.
But the section that goes from that intersection to the dam is this MoDOT section.
Right.
And that's what I think you're talking about.
Okay. Well, I just was looking at it and made a memory note of it and just left it.
I think the MoDOT section is the problem.
We just laid out a year before last.
Right. No, our section's in good shape, I believe. It was actually 4 years. It was 08. No, 09.
08 or 09.
Yeah. Because I can tell you, Danny, on 248 going up past the high road, they did some work there, and it's bad. I mean, they messed it. It's MoDOT did some work, and it didn't hold either. So, I mean, I think MoDOT's going to have to go back and
look. I can find out what their plan is or if they've got that schedule for anyone.
I mean, this is the new deal for them. They don't chip and seal asphalt roads, and that's got chip and seal road on that sign as you start up the hill. So.
I haven't seen that. Okay.
They're fixing chip and seal MKK to Cedar Creek. It was a hot map, but they're going to have to chip it to try to preserve it.
Preserve it. That's
yes.
That's where I'm going with this.
I'll buy them 5 or 6 years, at least. Or should, theoretically.
But then I guess how we'll leave it is I want to, you guys are going to work on your budget looking at that. We're going to look at individual commissioners. We're going to look at the list here and get with you to talk about what I think the priority needs to be. Individually, we're going to do that, right? Mm-hmm.
I'd like.
And you're going to have a visit,
budget, Randy.
So, I think we've got some homework. I guess we're saying we all know what our kind of a homework needs to be before we bring this back up.
Okay.
So maybe a couple weeks. Is that right with you guys?
Well, it needs to be addressed within this month because BOE starts last week of this month, I think.
Actually, I think we waited.
June, I'm not.
I think we waited until July because we wouldn't have the books. I don't think we'd. July, right? Yeah, we have the July. So it's.
Okay.
So we've got this month to. Because otherwise, July and August seem pretty hectic. But I would like to try to address it this. Like Ron's saying, this month.
Chrissy, can you tell me how. Well, make a note where we're at on appointments for that? Okay, good. More comments, gentlemen, about this issue? Danny, Jim?
I do have one more, and that's the fact that I want you to look and see how many roads that we have that are hard surface, laid mat roads that need to be chip and sealed. If the state is chip and sealing 76 Highway, they're bound to think that it's that whatever they're using and whatever they're doing is going to be good enough to be a heavy traffic 20,000 cars a day type deal. So
we're doing some hot mess this year.
We're doing. We got several on our chip.
I know that
list.
You do. But what I'm saying is, I want to make sure that we're all working together and find out what that is, because we're going to have some.
Yeah, we're trying to catch them before they get too bad of shape and do this to buy some of the 5-6 deals.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because we've got several that they've been having to fold over. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
I know we have an executive session. Do we want to take a...
No, I'm sorry. Gentlemen, were you here regarding this conversation?
No, sir. We were here for Commerce Drive.
Okay, the road petition discussion. Okay.
Hold on just a second. Let us stand in recess for 5 minutes. If you would like to chat with one of us, since we don't have that scheduled individually, we can do that. And then following that 5 minutes, we'll go into executive session as scheduled.
Okay.
So we'll stand in recess.
Okay.